How's everybody doing tonight? For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Matt Wolf, and I've been coming to the Refuge for a little over a year now. I met my wife, and then I've been coming here ever since, so I love it. And sad to see Pastor Mike couldn't be with us today, but we know he's having a good time on his cruise. So I'm glad for the opportunity to be here and being able to share what I've learned through the course of my life as a Christian. So if you would join me, I want to go ahead and pray and ask God to come fill his presence in this place. Dear God, we come to you today, and we thank you, Lord, for you are awesome, you are wonderful, and we love you. We ask that you come and fill your presence in this place, Lord. Come and fill our hearts. We open up our hearts to you, Lord, and just let your word be delivered tonight, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want to share with you a little bit of my journey with Jesus, and got a PowerPoint slide I put together to make it more visual and kind of easier to follow along with me. I was raised in the Methodist Church, and as a small child, even as a baby, I was Methodized, and I learned about Jesus in Sunday school and around the church, and I learned about Jesus through, like, pictures and things like that in the books, and you know, that's basically where my journey with Jesus started. And I had the chance to become an acolyte as a kid in that church, and I just enjoyed being in the church and feeling there was something special about being there as a kid. You know, it was something special, and now I look back and just know that God's presence was filled in that place, and it's just that was a fun place to be as a kid. And as life went on, I had a chance to go to Triple R Ranch. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that place, but it's a pretty awesome camp, and I went there twice as a kid, and pretty awesome experience. The second time I went, you know, when you go to Triple R Ranch, you have the opportunity to pretty much be free as a kid, like kind of when you go to college, you know, you kind of have a little bit of freedom to make your own decisions, and you're there on campus, and you get involved in activities. You know, there's soccer there, horseback riding, you get to choose your activities, canoeing. It's a bunch of fun stuff for kids, and you also learn about Jesus, and you worship, and you have praise songs at night. You stay in a little cabin, and you're in this your own tribe kind of thing. And you compete in competitions, and at the end, somebody wins in the camp. So it's a pretty cool camp. It's still going now too. So it's a great place for your kids to go if you ever want to send them somewhere cool. I know it was cool for me. But at Triple R Ranch, I had the opportunity, I remember one night, and I was in my cabin with my tribe, I guess. I can't remember if it was called a tribe, but it was the Tenderfoot tribe. And we had Bible study every night before we went to sleep. And I had the opportunity to hear, I knew about Jesus growing up, as I told you, in the church. But then I had the opportunity to find out what he did for me and that he was my Savior. And I said that prayer. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a church where they've invited you to come to know Jesus and as your Lord and Savior. And that's what happened that night, and I was 10 years old. And it was a very special day for me, and I remember it clearly. And the next day was actually the last day of camp. And we huddled around the bonfire, and we were singing our praise songs, and we had the chance, they asked if anybody had something they felt important that they wanted to share with the camp to stand up and form a line and come to the front. So I did that, and I could feel, you know, I was a kid, so I was kind of nervous, and I felt this tugging in my heart, and something was telling me to go up there and share what I had just learned about Jesus. And as a kid, I was very nervous, but I did it anyways, and I got in line, and I got the microphone, and I said, I'm just glad that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the entire camp of kids cheered, the loudest cheer I can ever remember hearing, and it was an awesome experience for me, and it was pretty cool. But I think that's what, you know, I had the chance to go to lunch with Pastor Mike one day, and we were talking about, you know, once somebody finds the Lord, it ought to be a celebration. It ought to be a big cheer, because it's the best thing that can ever happen to you here in this life. And it's cool to experience that and join in on that. As life went on, we switched churches because we wanted to be a little bit closer to home. And started going to Deep Creek, which I still attend now. It's a Baptist church. I was baptized when I was 12 years old with one of my best friends, Josh, who's here with us tonight. And it was a pretty cool experience. Him and his brother, we were best friends growing up, and we got baptized together. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the Power Team, but the Power Team was coming, and they put on this big show, and they ripped textbooks and phone books in half, and it was pretty cool that, you know, we were able to get baptized together, and I remember it clearly to this day. But after that, I pretty much, you know, went through my teenage years and went off to college, and had a few chances when I was in my, I guess, my teenage years to go on a mission trip down to Florida, where we did mission work there, and also had experiences with Deep Creek and the Sunday School and young adults and youth leaders, leadership there. So I've had, I enjoy being in God's presence, and I enjoy being around his people, the church, and I enjoy doing whatever I can to be a part of it. And I'm glad for this opportunity to be here tonight to share with you what I've learned. And by no means tonight am I trying to criticize everybody, anybody at all. I'm trying to share what I've learned. This is my first time preaching, so I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just trying to share with you what I've learned in my journey, in my walk with Christ. So the first slide I have up here is God is love. And I always questioned the full meaning of this statement growing up. And when Pastor Mike asked me to preach a couple weeks ago to fill in for him, I started, you know, thinking about what I was going to preach about. And it just kept coming to me. I just kept jotting down what was on my mind and asked God to prayed and asked him to talk to me and reveal what he wanted me to preach about, and things just kept on coming. And I tried to put it all together, but one of the things I asked God to do was to draw, to come closer and fill me totally with his love. And I invite you I invite you to do the same thing. If you pray and ask God to draw closer to you, and fill your heart with his love, he's got an endless supply of it, and it is awesome. And God does amazing things. He's everywhere you go. And you just ask him to pour more love into you and see what happens. He will bless you. But after that, I want to move on to the next slide. And that is the picture of Jesus that was in my church as a kid growing up. And everybody has, I guess, their own imagination of Jesus in their mind, but that's mine. As close to it as it's going to get, I guess, but that's the one I've always looked at, and that's my image of Jesus throughout the years. I can't imagine that clearly, but I found that online, and you know, I said that's the one that I grew up with. So today I'm going to be talking a lot about Jesus and his reason for coming to the earth and his reason today and for everything that he taught. I'm going to share with you what I know and what I've learned throughout my years following Jesus. But the next slide, if you'll look, one of the things Jesus told us about him was that he was the light of the world. And in John 8, verse 12, he says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light of the light that leads to life. And if you can imagine light in darkness, light spreads. And as a church body, you know, we need to come together and spread the light. And Jesus says that if you put the light on a lampstand for all to see, then people will draw closer. And it makes perfect sense. And that's one of the illustrations or analogies that I've always tried to look at when in terms of describing Jesus and his purpose for us and his purpose in the world and in the earth. And but in that church when I grew up, the light was always on in there. I could always go in there, and Jesus was always there. That feeling that I got when I was at that camp was always there. And I've gone down a lot of paths in life, and Jesus always has come back to me. He wants more of me. He wants to be closer to me. He wants me to submit to him instead of things of this world. And he never lets me forget that feeling that I had, that he's never left my heart. And if any of you have experienced that, it's an awesome feeling. And, you know, it's great to have Jesus and all the many gifts that God's given you and use it to help further his kingdom. But you always felt the love in God's presence in church, and you still do today. But one of the things I also want to talk about is, you know, as a kid, that's how I learned about him, was the pictures, which is I'm sharing some pictures with you today. But if you go to the next slide, and before I jump to this, I want to talk about a little bit about, I was doing the laundry the other day, and, you know, my wife now and our little daughter, all of our clothes were in there, and I went into the dryer, and there was these little tiny little clothes in there, and there's just something special about a child, and they're very precious, and they're very precious to Jesus, you know, and it's like I'm used to doing my own laundry, but when you start doing your kids' laundry, you realize that, you know, little things in life that are very special, and children are a sponge. And if you look around the world today, there's a lot of corruption and there's a lot of evil going on in the world. And our job as Christians is to, you know, is to stay close to Jesus and stay close to him and don't stray from him and follow and teach the generations to follow us the same thing. And, you know, it's our job. We have to start now. And children are precious and they soak it in. They're like a sponge. So it's our job to teach them the right way to live. But in John 6, Jesus also, and this is another analogy I like to explain, that he said he was the bread of life. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. So basically, John talks about this, and Jesus actually said that before he fed the 5,000. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of feeding the 5,000, but Jesus took two fish and a few loaves of bread and divided it among 5,000 people and fed them all until they were full. And if you can think about bread, and as I was describing, light expands in darkness and makes you so you're able to see. When you think about bread and yeast, and you cook the yeast and it expands. That's what Jesus can do in this world we live in. And it's up to us to spread that. But Jesus also replied in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And if we stick that in the forefront of our minds and just remember Jesus when we're tempted by sin or all the things that come into our lives, you know, it makes it... It puts everything into perspective when you realize, you know, to live your life for Jesus instead of living life for yourself, where you look for pleasure in worldly things when we should look to heavenly things, and Jesus is the answer of that. So that's what we do as sin. We're not perfect. Jesus is the only one who is perfect. So we all sin. And one of the things I want to talk about today is... It's in, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I want to go on to the next slide and show you the third thing is Jesus also said that I am the good shepherd. And I want to go ahead and read John 10, verse 11. It says, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So what that means is Jesus, if you think of a sheep, you know, and if you look at the picture on the bottom, following Jesus is... It's a choice, you know. It's a choice we have in our daily lives. And Jesus takes care of his sheep. So if we choose Jesus, then we can never, if you look at the next verse, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Then in verse 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. So It's a decision we have to make daily. And once we decide to do that, we can experience the full joy that God has for us. If you go on to the next slide, or if you see the, did you see the picture of him holding the lamb? You know, if you go astray, Jesus will always welcome you back. But you have to seek him, and you have to learn from your mistakes. And I know I do too, and it's a great feeling to be able to have Jesus as my Savior. But if you go on to the next slide, this is a little bit of God's Word, which I wanted to kind of share with you tonight. It's one of the verses I found when right before Pastor Mike had asked me to preach, and it kind of gave a little purpose to what I was looking for. But it said, Ephesians 4:7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. So what that means is the way I see it is God left everything in heaven, where heaven is perfect. He had it all, but he, and the world was so bad. And if you go back to the Old Testament, and I encourage you to dig deeper into your Bibles if you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. But the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you look at, you know, Moses and the Ten Commandments, and the first time they were destroyed because people weren't obeying them. And then God bring them up again, and they made them again on two stones. And that goes all the way back to even today. Like, those are God's commandments, and you know, we must obey him. And God wants us to follow his teachings. And the Bible is an awesome gift, which I'll talk about more in a minute. But he had everything in heaven, everything. And he came down here to save us, to show us how to live, because we are sinners, and he's the only perfect one, but he's our example. So we have to try and live our lives. Even those we still sin, we have to learn from our sin and try not to sin and learn from that and move on so God can complete us in this life. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that he will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other. So that's one of the verses that really stood out to me as, you know, he's given each and one of us a gift. And in fellowship, and if we all come together, we can try and make this world a better place. But, you know, it's hard with technology now and everything. It's so easy to give in to temptation, and sin is right in front of our eyes now. And it's just, it's so there. But, you know, we have to be strong and learn from and stick to the principles and equip in, what's the word I'm trying to find? Not evolve, but change to the new style of, I guess, Christianity. We have to keep Christianity alive. And in this day and age, it's a new millennium, it's a new age, and it's tough to do because it's so easy. I mean, back in the day, everybody walked everywhere they went, you know, when Jesus' time, you know, or, you know, they had horses and mules and everything, but, you know, think of how much time that adds, you know, to their, you know, their life, and our life is so fast-paced, and we just let things just go right by us, and we're not focusing, which we don't focus on the true purpose of life, and we can start right now, and it's really come alive in the past few weeks for me, and it's awesome to experience working on that and constantly focusing on Jesus and his purpose. But the next slide, if you look at God's gifts, this has always been a special thing for me. If you look at the sun is, it provides light so we can see. And it also, with rain, it lets things grow, trees and crops for us to eat, for animals to eat. And as God gave us that, he created everything. How awesome is it to be closer to the creator of everything? When we were talking about earlier, drawing closer to God. Isn't that where you want to be in life, is closer to God? We try to please ourselves, and we when God wants us to seek him and first, to whereas some, we choose sin over God when we should be choosing God over sin. And sin eats away at the heart, and it puts voids in our heart, and if we keep sinning, God cannot heal us. So we have to try and learn from our sins and ask God for forgiveness and seek forgiveness so he can heal us and restore us and make us complete. But if you go on to the next slide, the Bible, that's another gift. All of our answers are in the Bible. And, you know, the gift, God gave us everything we need to live and breathe and function. Food, and food is so very special. I love to cook, and my wife, we love to cook together. And it's just such a special, the smell, the aroma. It's just like God created that, and it's just so great, so awesome. And the Bible is another gift, but it says in the Bible, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we try to live lives and make life work our own way. And really, we should be following the principles that were given us by Jesus in the Bible and long before him, since the creation of time goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. To the very beginning, we have to try and follow, put those principles in our daily lives, and God's law is the law we should be following. But the Holy Bible. Now, this is another illustration I want to make: is when you get, if you go off to college and you sign up for a class, and you go to, you buy your textbooks for the class, and you show, you know, basically you buy your textbook, you show up for class. Now, think about if you didn't buy the textbook, you didn't show up for class, but you showed up for the test. How are you going to know any of the answers on the test of the material if you're not reading your textbook and showing up to your professor's teaching? We have to look at the Bible the same way. How are we, when our day comes and we stand before God, that's when we receive our grade of how we lived our life. I mean, it's plain and simple. All the answers, he gave us his Bible as a gift. And the way we should live our lives is all in the Bible. So we have to meditate in his word and use his word to battle the sin in our lives. But the next slide, please, Jamie. Thank you, sir. In Job, in the Old Testament, it says, Job 22, it says, submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. Listen to his instructions and store them in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. Then you will take delight in the Almighty and look up to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you. And you will fulfill your vows to him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do, and light will shine on the road ahead of you. If people are in trouble and you say help them, God will save them. Even sinners will be rescued. They will be rescued because your hands are pure. I found that verse, you know, I was digging into it, trying to find what to preach about, and I just thought that verse was awesome. I just, there's so many verses in the Bible that just reach out to you and really open your eyes and change your perspective a little bit to make it, you know, better. And if you would, next slide. But sin, last time Pastor Mike talked about sin and how it separates you from God. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. And we talked about sin earlier, but 1 John explains a little bit about sin and the effect, you know, the after effects of it. But everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. So what do we do? We have to go in prayer, and we have to pray about it, and we have to draw closer to him so he can restore us. But sin is going to enter your life, and You know, you're not going to be, you're going to be tempted every time, but when you choose God over sin, He will bless you. He will, and He might not bless you right away, but you have to be patient, and you have to be obedient to His word. And the Bible is a great way, the verses, and just to meditate in them and soak in them, and just live your life and choose and follow Jesus is a good way to just live the way He did. And, you know, like, what would Jesus do? It's the same thing. If we don't know the answer to that question, then we can find it in the Bible is our answer. But if you go on to the next slide, please. So how do we battle sin? We equip ourselves. We put on the whole armor of God is what the Bible tells us to do. A final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that one's always kind of stuck in for me, is the sword of the Spirit. Is, you know, if you were to think of you're going into the battlefield, and you're putting on your armor. The first thing is salvation, God's gift for us, Jesus. And that's your faith. You believe that. You know, you're confident in that. And you're confident to face each day, each new day, and get better and become better. I was playing golf the other day. And I was actually, it came into perspective for me. Is, you know, I always wondered, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, there's no left and right. And I always questioned what that meant. And, you know, whether, you know, and it kind of put it in perspective when I looked at it this way. A target is Jesus and God in heaven, and that's the only way is straight. And when we choose to go on the straight path, you know, and don't go left and we don't go right, then that there's our answer, you know, stay straight. And we have to practice staying on the straight path. We have to try and constantly perfect it. And golf is a lot like it. If you think of golf, or if there's any of you that know golf or know how golf works, there's a pin, and your objective is to get the ball in the hole. Well, if you go left and you go right, you're not going to get to your target. So, and golf is very tough. It's a very tough sport, and my wife could probably tell you all my stories about golf. But golf is very difficult for me as a golfer. My buddy Josh here, he's a golfer too. And we're constantly trying to figure that sport out, which I don't know if it's possible. But it's not easy to get to the pin, every shot to be perfect every single time. And that's a lot like life is. But when you do have that good shot, you know what you did right. You focused right. Your focus was there. You didn't focus too hard. You didn't focus on things you weren't supposed to be focused on, but you were focusing on your target. And when you take your club and focus on your target and your swing is right and you're living your life right, then your ball gets to your target. And it's hard to do it every time, but the more we practice and practice focusing on what we're doing right will get us there more than if we don't focus on focusing. So if that makes sense. We have to practice focusing and practice on not sinning and practice on doing what is right in God's eyes. And He will come closer and He will be there and we're on the right path. So we'll get better at it and we'll do more for God and we'll help build His kingdom. But on the next slide, listeners and doers, that goes along with it. Understand this, my dear brothers, in James 1, it says, and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So I tell you, if you choose God over sin, he will bless you. And that's the main objective in life, is to trust, put our trust and our hope and live our lives for him. But if you go to the next slide, be strong. You know, it gets tough sometimes when we're tempted, you know. But in Romans it says, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in your evil desires. So, because there's sin, ever since sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve were tempted and they ate of the apple, there's been sin in the world. But God's gift of leaving everything he had to give us another example of how to live is Jesus. And that's our way to heaven. That's our way to, that's our purpose in life, is to use that example and live our lives that way, as I was saying before. But it all boils down to that. On the next slide. This is a particular symbol that I learned a long time ago. My mom taught me this when I was younger. But she described it as God, me, and my helpmate. Eventually I knew my wife would come around, and I kept praying, and God finally sent her to me. But your God, your wife, and your husband, you can also look at it as to the church and Jesus and yourself. Well, the church, yourself, and God. And it says the closer you get to God, the closer you get together. So what that means is, you know, in your daily lives, the more you seek God and the more you live your life for him, and instead of pleasing yourself, and, you know, try and choose God instead of sin when you're tempted, and meditate and pray. And he wants to have a closer relationship with you. He wants you to find that quiet time with him, and he wants to talk to you. And it's hard in these fast-paced lives. I know it is, you know, for me, is to find the time to just sit down and talk to him, and just listen to what he has to say to you. And he may speak to you not right away, but you have to, like I said, you have to be patient and listen and seek him. And another verse in the Bible says, knock and I will hear, and seek and you will receive, or seek and you will find. If you're hungry for God like I am, all you have to do is just talk to him and ask him to just be the main focus in your life, and just try to each and every day just be filled with God's love. But another symbol I was kind of thinking about earlier is if you were to picture a heart, and the heart symbol is love. Well, you have your wife and you on one side, or you and your relationship with everybody. Jesus says to love one another. And, you know, if you're doing and doing things that are right, and your wife is doing things that are right, and, you know, if you're constantly trying to do what is right, then it's kind of like symmetry. And that's going to make your relationship work. And, God wants to be God is on your side, no matter which side you're on, and he wants to make you complete. He wants to fill those voids in your heart where you've made mistakes, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to he has big plans for you. He's got a gift for each and every one of us, and we just have to seek him. How's everybody doing? All right. I know I always got a lot to talk about, and I try to narrow it down. I've always been that way, but I just ask God to just kind of to help me put all this together, and this is what we came up with. But one of the next things I want to talk about is, if you go to the next slide, humble yourself, and always question what the true full meaning of this word meant and what it means to be humble. What is humility? And C.S. Lewis, I found this, once said, and it's a good explanation if you, none of you know what it means, but it means that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking of yourself less. And it goes back to putting others before you and putting your desires last and putting God's desire first. And it says in James 4, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So when we humble ourselves before the Lord and put him first, you know, he will bless you for that. And that's the way we should try and live our lives, is we're constantly trying to find pleasure for ourselves instead of storing up for treasures in heaven, is what Jesus tells us to do. Is to, and by doing that, it's by living a righteous life and constantly trying to do what is right. But there is forgiveness in the Lord for, if you're seeking forgiveness, you know, God will give it to you if you trust in him. And, but we have to learn from it, and we have to move on from it, and we have to ask God to help us to do better next time when we mess up. But if you go to the next slide. This is wrapping up the sermon here. But at my work, you know, we had this saying where, you know, sales were taking off and we were doing really well. I'm a builder. I work for a general contractor, so we build houses and sales are doing really well. And they had this symbol of an eagle plane that, you know, we had this where we had this vision to, you know, be the best builder out there. And and they had a plane to say to get on it. But another thing, I was on, you know, out there looking the other day near the golf. Well, I was on the golf course, and I work on a golf course. So, and we had just cleared. I'd been at this community for 4 years, so we're constantly building houses, and it's been a long journey. Feels a lot longer than 4 years, but we're finally at the last section. We're 3/4 of the way done, and we finally cleared all the land to develop the last lots to build on. And so basically, if we switch that over in terms of looking at it in a different way, basically Jesus is giving us, when we seek Jesus, he equips us and enables us to do more for him. So when we follow him, choose to follow him, He has big plans for us and big plans to help people in this life, in this world, where people are in need. And for me, it was, you know, we had this opportunity to build. Well, let's build God's kingdom. He's clearing the land for us. He's developing these lots when we choose to follow him. So let's continue to build his kingdom and seek others and for Christ. But I put this little plane on there as the Jesus plane, and I'm inviting you to get on it. So there's one more thing I want you to watch, and I hope you guys, you know, I hope I, you know, did okay tonight, and you guys listened and enjoyed what I had to say. I hope I was enjoyable, but this is what I'm inviting you on. This video is pretty cool. But it's the ride I'm on, and I'm hungry for God, and I want more. And I've been down a lot of roads, but I can tell you there's no better high than living your life for Christ. So just take a look at this video.
This is now. This is
Cool, so I wanted to add that into it. But Jesus wants a relationship with you, and he wants all of you. And let him fill you up instead of the things of the world filling you up. And just be happy. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.